In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I want to welcome the new ones, the new people who are here with us for the first time in the Servant's Prep course. This course is a course designed by the Church to introduce the faith, the life, and the theology of the Church to you in a very basic way, so that you can grow in your knowledge of God. If I ask you why you're taking this course, you may say, because I'm going to be a servant. And I'm going to say to you, no. No. You're not taking this course to be a servant. What you're doing is you're taking this course so that you can grow in your knowledge and your love and your practice, the praxis of your Orthodox faith. Okay? And then if later God allows, you know, then maybe, you know, God will pick you to be a servant. Okay? I remember the first course I ever did was in 2000, in here in this church, 2001. Okay? And I started with 40 people, and only 8 graduated. Okay? And out of those 8, probably 3 became servants. Okay? So it's not about, as soon as I leave here, I'm going to become a servant. What you're here for is to know about your faith, to love your faith, to learn it, and most of all, to live it. It's the idea. I know that the people who are second year have heard this already, but I have to do this every time. An introduction to the new people. So, I'm going to go over what our mission is. Just like anything you do, there's a reason for what you do. Right? You wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth. Why? So you have nice, healthy teeth with healthy breath. You wash your body, you comb your hair, you make your bed, you do your homework, you eat, you sleep, you have all of these things that you do. You go to the gym, you play sports. There's a reason for everything. And the reason why you're here is a very big reason. So we put together a mission statement. So I'm going to spend maybe another 10-15 minutes speaking about the mission statement, okay? Explaining it to you. And I want you to keep that in your mind always, because that's what you're here for. You're not here to become a servant as much as you are here to become a adherent to the mission statement. Okay? So we're going to start with the mission statement, and we're going to talk about a few verses from the Bible, just maybe 5 or 6 slides. And then after that, then we'll end. Dr. Mary will be with you, and she'll give you an idea about the course. Right? So again, as with anything, right? That you have to know why you're here. And this is a good refresher for those of you who are in the second year, who are starting your second year now. Okay, you've been with us for a whole year. Okay, and Dr. Mayer is going to go over all the logistics and all that kind of stuff. But you've been here now for a whole year. Okay, this is kind of like a refresher to remind you of why you're here. Okay, our mission statement. The first part, the mission of the Servants Preparation class is to provide the participants with a solid, Orthodox Christian education, enabling them to grow in faith, in knowledge, in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Just read it to yourself for a minute. Okay? Just read it. Look at the screen and just read it. Understand it. Okay, so our goal is to give you a good, solid, Orthodox Christian education. Okay, built on already what you've been taking in Sunday school for the past 10, 11, or 12 years, or maybe more. Okay, so we're not going to reinvent the wheel, we're just going to add upon what foundation you already have. And we're just going to focus on specific things, specific teachings of the Church, and therefore try to bring out the meaning or the actual Orthodox Christian faith. Okay, there's many faiths out there. Some of you are in college, some of you are going to go to college, God willing. You're going to have a big challenge when you deal with a Jehovah's Witness, a Buddhist, a Muslim. All these people are going to come up to you, or even, forget about non-Christian faiths. What about the faiths of that are non-Christian? Okay? Or, I'm sorry, the faiths that are Christian but are not Orthodox. Okay? Then you're going to have to debate, and they're going to put doubt in your mind. You need to have a solid Orthodox understanding, the mind of the Bible, so that wherever you go, you can preach and teach and defend your faith in a very good, wholesome, biblical way. Okay? So, part of it is to grow in your faith. Okay? Have to grow in your faith. Anything that grows is what? Anything that doesn't grow is what? Is dead. So anything that grows is what?
Alive.
Okay? Anything that grows is alive. So if you're not growing in your Orthodox faith, then what are you?
Dead.
Okay? And what good is it to have a dead plant in your backyard? What do you do with a dead plant in your backyard? Do you keep it? What do you do? You do what? You pull it out and you what? You throw it away. Because it's just taking up room. Right? So, you have to be alive, meaning that you have to grow. So every year, there should be more growth, for example, in your prayer life. More growth in your life of giving. You know, when you were little and I was little, we would get so excited because Bob would give us, you know, a dollar. If we want the church to put that dollar in the octobox, and you take it and you go, you put it right in because you want to make sure it gets what? In, right? All the way in. People think you're stealing, but little kids don't know. They want to put it all the way in just to make sure, right? That's $1. Okay, some of you are working that. Even high school. What about the idea of the first fruit? You get a new job. What's the first fruit? Your first month's salary. You just take it and you right into the church. Okay? Afterwards, you're 10%. Okay? Where's the growth? So there has to be growth. Okay? There has to be growth. Knowledge, we kind of talked about that in the first point, and relationship. You can know everything you want to know about the faith. You can know the councils. You can know the number of bishops in the first council and every single name. You can know every canon. But if you don't have a nice relation, a connection with our Lord and Savior, all this means absolutely nothing. Zero. It means absolutely nothing. If you're just a machine, you walk into church, you're just mechanical, comes your spot, okay. If you're one of these, but you know everything, means nothing. Means zero. You have to have relation. You have to have connection. Okay? You have to have a connection. Put your hands up. Her and I are
connected.
Her and I are
connected.
Okay? Right? So you and God have to be connected. And that's why he said, I am the vine and you are the? You are the?
Vine dresser.
God is the vine. How could we be a vine dresser? Think before you speak. I am the vine, you are the?
Branches.
Okay? You are the branches. So the vine is the big root, and the branches are the little ones that come out that bear fruit. He says, abide in me, because without me you can do nothing. So if you're not connected, there won't be any fruit. There won't be any goodness. There won't be any prayer. There won't be any giving. There will be just hatred and lust and all these horrible things inside of our hearts. Because without me you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Okay? Nothing. So I have to have this relationship. So this is the first part of our mission statement. This will happen. How will all this happen? This is how it's going to happen. by active involvement in the liturgical life of the church, and by participation in the means of grace. How will you get a good, solid Orthodox Christian education and knowledge? How will you grow in your faith? How will you have a good relationship with the Lord? Through an active involvement in the liturgical life of the church and participation in the means of grace. The liturgical life of the church is basically, very simply, the liturgy, Hashaya, which is Vespers, Tezbeha, which is what we're going to do after the class. And Dr. Mayer is going to tell you what's mandatory, what's not, and all these type of things in a minute. Okay? Liturgical life. When you are in liturgy, you and I, we are standing before the Almighty. We are standing before God. Liturgy is when the body of Christ comes together, right? When the body of Christ, all of you, okay, and me, we come together and we address God. Lord, we thank you. Lord, remember the sick. Lord, have mercy. Right? Lord, remember those who fell asleep, meaning those who died. We come together as the body of Christ. So the liturgical life of the church is your life. Is your life. It should be the basis of your whole entire being and life. Because through the liturgy and all the liturgical services we have in the church, you get fed. You grow in your knowledge. You listen. You receive a word from God. You receive a sermon. You receive blessing. Every time Abuna turns around and he says, it's not coming from him. It's coming from the one who gave him the authority to give the blessing. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Some people in the village just look at me like, yeah, well, so what? You get a blessing, you bow your head at least. Or you do the sign of the cross. You're in the liturgy. God is present and he wants to give you something. He wants to give you something. Are you there to take? Or are you there to see your friends? Are you there to text? Are you there to stand in the back of the church and hold up the wall in the back of the church? Because everybody loves that spot in the back there. This? Wow. What is he wearing there? Her hair looks miserable. What did she do to her hair? What is this? The moment you walk in, you go immediately to the front of the church. And if you can't find the row, the first row, take the second. If you can't find the second, take the third. Right? Don't take the back seat and be distracted the whole time. You're fooling yourselves. The liturgical life is an important part of your growth in the knowledge of God and your relationship. Okay? So, Dr. Mayer is going to tell you how that works into this class. And you participate in the means of grace. What are the means of grace? These are the things that the Holy Bible taught us so that we can grow and receive grace from God. First, means of grace is what? Prayer. Okay. Holy Communion. Fasting. Reading your Bible. A life of praise, etc. All of these things that we are asked to do, and that's why when people take it as rules, wow, we gotta fast every Wednesday, Friday, we gotta fast another fast in the church. Come on, why there's so many fasts? Why is everyone always asking me to pray my Igbeya at home? Why do I have to do Matanyas? Why? The people that ask why have no understanding of what they're doing. It is part of the means of grace in which you receive from God. When you stand before God and you lift up your arms and your heart and your mind, the God of all the heavens says to his angels, shh, it's enough, enough praising from you. I want to hear my son and my daughter. He stands there eagerly waiting to hear what you have to say. And he's waiting to pour on you all the grace and blessings that he has. And believe it or not, he has a lot to give. So people that look at it and say, oh, I have to fast again, I have to pray again, or in confession, oh, I don't fast, I don't pray at all. And there's no growth. Remember what I said? Anything that doesn't grow is dead. You can't be dead, because any branch that does not bear fruit, he does what? And then he? Into the fire. That's what he said, not me. Any branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, it's a nice way to say, I cut you off, I take you, and I throw you away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more
fruit.
Okay? That it may bear more. Okay? So, there's two parts to that. Okay? Don't get confused. When you prune something, you cut off the dead, and you leave what's left, in order that all the nourishment doesn't go to the dead part, so it goes to the live part of the plant. So I get pruned twice. I get pruned and I'm bad, or I have a little bit of fruit, he takes off the dead stuff, okay? So I can grow more fruit. You get the idea? So, means of grace. Your life in this class, okay? Now please no doodling. I don't know why people are doodling. Already we started to doodle. I'm going to see everybody's notebook today. If there's any doodling, okay? I'm serious. We're not in high school here where everybody's doodling. Oh, look at how cool this is. And you write little notes to each other. Come on. Come on. You don't have to be here, by the way. This is not something that you are forced to do. Okay? I really wouldn't want anybody to be forced to do this. This is out of your love, your respect, your interest in God. You want to know. So don't come here and waste your time or ours. Please. No doodling. Full attention. So the means of grace are really important in the life of this class. Because again, if you're not growing, then you're dead. So we can't be dead. We don't want that. Alright, so this is going to happen. So to get the knowledge, education, growth in faith, and this connection with God, I have to be involved in the liturgical life of the church and participate in the means of grace, and the matanyas, the fasting, the spiritual books, the spiritual retreats, all those type of things. Okay? Then, this program also will give the participant an opportunity to continue to build the kingdom of God on earth through service, one person at a time, by glorifying the Lord, the Word, and being an ambassador, and serving Him with guidance. And this is the end result. This is what not just you as a servant prep person should be. This is what every Christian should be. Everywhere you go, you should be building the kingdom of God on earth, because that's what you're here for. The Lord said, you are the salt of the earth. You're supposed to give flavor. You're supposed to give a meaning to your friends in high school who all they talk about is the opposite gender, or drugs, or drinking, or the latest sneaker that's $500-$700, or the latest cell phone. Okay, fine, after a while, okay, everything's new in the beginning, then it gets old, and then we all wait for the next new thing. It's like we're being led on. Whereas the newness of Christ is a renewed thing every single day. Every day, he says, your mercies are renewed. Every day, the Lord takes you up on eagle's wings. And he soars with you up into the sky, into the height of his knowledge. Okay? You're supposed to be that building that of the kingdom. You're supposed to give that flavor. You're supposed to walk into a room, right, and give that sweet smell, sweet fragrance of Christ. Not the sweet fragrance of perfume or Axe, okay? But the sweet smell of Christ, his words, the idea of service, the beauty of his teachings. That's what you give to people. that's what you're supposed to do. I'm everybody, not just servants, prepped. This is what every Christian should do. Build the kingdom. Through what? Through service. Okay? Through serving. Okay? One person at a time. By glorifying the Lord by your word, okay? And being an ambassador. So your speech should match what he says. And by being ambassador, meaning your actions. Okay? So you're not one person in church and then another person outside. No. We have no split personalities in Christ. Okay? You're either with him or you're against him. There's no between. There's no lukewarmness. You're either cold or hot. That's it. And if you're lukewarm, what does he do in Revelation? He does what?
He vomits.
He vomits you out. He spits you out. Actually, one translation, spew. You know what spew means? It's a more powerful word than vomit. When you vomit something, okay, you vomit. But when you spew it out, it's like you just want to get it out so quick. So some translations say he spews us out if we're lukewarm. Okay? So we have to be his ambassador. You can't be double-minded. A double-minded man, a woman is
stable
in unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man. I'll listen to my music on Monday through Friday, and then Saturday I'll come and listen to the church stuff, and then I'll dress nicely on Sunday and Saturday when people see me, but then when I go back, it's instability. Unstable, a double-minded man, a person is unstable in all of his ways. Unstable, wobbly. There's no good foundation. There's nothing in our life this way. Okay? So, try to remember, Harei. Okay? Try to remember. This is your mission statement. Okay? You know how I remember what I'm supposed to do as a priest? Sometimes I can forget. So you know what I do? On the day that I became a priest, I had to learn all the liturgical stuff. It took me about less than 20 days to be able to do the liturgy by myself. Okay? I think 17 days. And then, at the end of the liturgy, the monk takes the new priest and he stands him by the relic of the saint in front of the altar and he makes him hold the Bible and puts his hand on his and he gives him this oath and he tells him, repeat after me, and then I repeat, and then after that he gives the priest a long warning. This is what you should do. Don't forget to do this, don't do this, do this, don't do that, make sure to do this. Don't forget this. Don't forget that. He gave a mission statement to me. Do you know what I do to remember it? I reread it every once in a while. I pull out that mission statement. I look at it and say, oh my Lord, I have so much more to do. Okay, so I need this to be next to you in front of your notebook always. And read it weekly, monthly, however many times you need to be reminded. Because we easily forget. We all forget. I forget everything. You know, I forget a lot. So I always have to be reminded. Okay, so we have to serve the Lord in a wonderful way. A few slides about the Lord's service. The Son of Man did not come to... Just listen. Don't just take the verse. Take the verse. Mark 10:45. Just listen to the rest of it. He did not come to be served, but to serve. Okay? So a servant is somebody who comes and has a mission. Okay? For example, one blessed priest told me what the service was. He said, Yabuna, I said, hey, well, he's a really old priest, big, long, gray beard. Okay? Those wonderful priests are blessed. You get so, they just ooze with all this spiritual stuff out. When I see them, I just run to them. I grab his hand. If he lets me, I kiss it. And I just sit there and listen. Been a priest 30, 40, 50 years. Oh, my goodness. So he's just dripping with all this stuff. He says, you know what the service is? You know what the priest is? Sophia Zabana. A trash can.
for God. Everybody, in order to be clean, they do what? They throw all their garbage on you. But then he said, no, don't worry. But God then takes that garbage and he takes it out. He also said, imagine if you're standing at the back of a room. Everybody comes in with dirty hands. And you have this nice white towel. And you offer this white towel to each person that walks into the room. He says, they're going to wipe their hands and they're going to come in. And what their hands are going to be what? Clean. But the towel, the servant, is going to be
dirty.
He said, it's okay. God dry cleans. Okay? He'll clean you. Alright? He has not come to be served. He has come to serve and to... Remember, that's why we picked... Look at that picture. The Lord says to them, you call me master. I'm the greatest. Look what I'm doing. I'm washing your feet. He has not come to be washed. His feet shouldn't be washed. He didn't come for that. He came so that he could wash your feet and mine. Okay? I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Okay? Remember, Agnes once said, "Shughlina ma'al khutam." Our work is always with sinners. And that's what the Lord did. Was he around the righteous? No, he wasn't. He was with the Pharisees, the tax collectors, and the prostitutes. He is a friend of the tax collectors, Pharisees, and prostitutes. And then they condemned him. If you were a good man, you would know what type of people he is. He said, I have not come to call the sinner. So our work as a servant is always with people that are not righteous. Think about that. Right? God is inviting us to help and to serve in the capacity that he did, not the way we think. Okay? It's very important. A lot of servants, they've been serving for 5, 10, 20 years, they still don't know this. And their service is a failure. Because homa mishfahmin e mana echid. They don't understand. Okay? I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It's another wonderful thing to contemplate on. That we're here not to advance my agenda or my thought of teaching. No. Who am I? I'm here to perpetuate, to continue the Orthodox faith and praxis. Action. And life. Okay? So I'm not going to be the one to change it. You're not the one who's going to decide, okay, well, this is okay for the church. Or St. Mary's not an ever virgin. Or, you know, let's say hallelujah and praise the Lord and amen and all this garbage that is being done in the churches. It's not, no. Come to do not my will. I don't have an agenda. I'm here to do his will. The servant is here to do his will. Okay? And then you could think about, we could have 10 classes on what is God's will. What does God want? If you think about it. He wants salvation. He wants honesty. He wants purity. He wants love. He wants so many things. Okay? I've come as a light into the world. Whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Again, you are the light of the world. Remember, as we talked about our actions on 1246. For this cause I was born, and this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Again, this has to do with the idea of being a witness or the light to Christ. You have to bear witness to the truth. You have to be, and not, I don't mean here, it doesn't mean like speak the truth, although we are asked to speak the truth always, but the truth of who Christ is, the truth of the Word of God, the truth of a Christian life. Okay? This one is nice. Okay?
Do not let your hand be stretched out to receive and close when it is time to give.
Okay. All of our life, the mother, our church, the mother, has fed us and given us everything. From the day we were born, she ushers us into life through the holy baptism of fire. She feeds us with her bread of life, the body and blood of Christ, and the true teaching of the Lord through the Bible. She chrismates us, she seals us, she makes us hers, and she gives us everything we need.
Okay? There's going to come a time when you're going to be asked to give back. Okay? And this is one of the verses that kind of say that. Don't let your hand be stretched out to receive and close when it's time to give. Okay? The biggest problem with us today, or with servants in general, is the idea of commitment. Nobody's committed. Think about this, and that'll be my last thought. What a person prioritizes or values, that's what a person will commit to. Would you agree with that? So if you're every day you're on the treadmill for 2 hours and you go to the gym for half an hour doing your cardio and your muscles and all this stuff, and you eat salad and you watch what you eat and everything, what are you committed to? Fitness, being healthy. If you're a student, you're in high school, you're 10th grade, 11th grade, whatever, you're in college, and you study 5, 6, 7 hours a day, and you're doing reviews, and you're going ahead of the teacher, and you're doing your homework again, and you go to tutoring sessions, and you go here, and you go there, and you do all this stuff, what are you committed to? What are you committed to? An education, or to get a good education. Okay. So, if I put time into something, then I'm committed to it. It's a priority. I value it. Okay? Unfortunately, we don't value this. We don't value anything. Because we don't put time into it. Thousands of excuses every day. Thousands of excuses. Even the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about this in his parable. The king had a wedding feast for his son. The king sends his servants, go, tell the people to come. My table is prepared. Everything's ready. Come. Sorry, Lord. I just bought a plot of land. I have to take care of it. I bought a business. I have a few cows I bought. I have to take care of the business. I got married. A lot of people, once they get married, they fall off the face of the earth for like a year or two in the beginning of their life. It's absolutely no sense. Just fall off. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm married. I married a wife. I'm too busy. So what did the Lord do? Okay, you don't want it? Somebody else is going to take your place because my table must be full. And he went, he told his servants, go out, preach to all the other nations and bring them in. And they all came and his table was full. And those who were originally invited never got into the kingdom. Because what? We value our friendships more. We value our time in front of the TV. We value our free time. We value whatever it is that we value and all the excuses that we make for not being here. And I'm not just talking about service. I'm talking about just a regular Christian. Why do people, for example, come late to church? And I will never understand that in my life, ever. Why do people come to church late? I have no idea. Why do women sit on the men's side? Why do women not wear their veil on their head? Why do men wear hats in the church? Why? I just don't get it. You know? You may say, oh, this is a little bit too much. It's not too much. It's being faithful in the little things. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ taught us to do. He says, first, be faithful in the little thing. And then I will give you more to be faithful over. Right? If you can't lift 5 pounds, how can I give you 10 pounds to lift? If I can do the simple ABCs of coming to church on time, of abiding by the rules and regulations that the fathers and the apostles put down, of where people sit, and what they should wear, and what they should not wear, how
am I going to abide by being able to love my enemy, about giving, about having inner peace, about prayer? How am I going to do that big stuff if I can't do the tiny little things? You get the idea? That's why maybe Dr. Mary, she's going to hammer you a lot for the little things. Because really, if you can't do the little thing, if I can't even lift up this table, how am I going to lift up one of the tables downstairs that are 5 times the size and heavier? How? That these little things are the tests. These are the ways that we see what you're doing, how you're doing. Okay? So don't be worried. Don't be worried. Just commit. Remember, if you value something, you're going to commit. If you value your health, if you value education, if you're married and you value your marriage, you're going to commit. If you value anything, you're going to put time into it and commit to it. Okay? So, God willing, you know, may God give you a wonderful 1 year, if you have 1 year left, or 2 years in this program, okay, to be fruitful, to gain good knowledge, okay, to understand, to have a good, solid Orthodox Christian education. Let's go over that one more time. The mission of the Servants Preparation Class is to provide the participants with a solid Orthodox education, enabling them to grow in faith, in knowledge, and in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This will happen by a few things: participation in the liturgical life and the means of grace. And it will give you an opportunity to grow, to build the kingdom, serving others one person at a time by words and by being ambassadors by your deeds. Okay? May God give you a fruitful year or two, and may you be found faithful like the faithful servant in the parable of the talents. He said, "Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." To the other one that wasn't faithful, he said, "You wicked and lazy. Take the talent from him and give him to who has 10. Take him and throw him out into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You know what gnashing of teeth means? When you grind your teeth. And if you happen not to have any teeth, God will provide you teeth to gnash. He will. Okay? So, even if you don't have any teeth, God will provide for you teeth so you can gnash. Okay, Habayit? God be with you, and glory be to God forever. Amen.